Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across Spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you in to positive vibrations on a regular basis. Also, this Positive Head Podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I, but make no mistake, it takes a lot of time, energy, and resources to produce 5 episodes each and every week for you, our listeners. So if you enjoy the Positive Head Podcast, it would be stellar and much appreciated if you showed us your support at positivehead.com by picking up one of our unique Positive Head bracelets. Of course, you would most certainly be helping yourself in the process because it functions as much more than just another stylish accessory. And if you haven't ever seen one, they're really cool, simple little bracelets with our Flower of Life sacred geometry inspired logo. They're actually made out of recycled tires and metal, so our intention is, of course, to do something positive by giving new life to previously discarded goods. And as far as their functionality goes, they act as a daily reminder to help you focus on the positive aspects of your daily life. The concept was actually inspired by studies that you can read about on our website. But besides that, many people believe just wearing something with sacred geometry is empowering in and of itself, which you can also read about on our site. And of course, as the Buddha once famously said, what you think, you become. So we believe having something on your wrist that reminds you to keep a positive head, the same way a Fitbit reminds you to keep active, makes a whole lot of sense. Of course, we charge way less than Fitbit for helping you to manage your mental health because we let you name your price for your positive head bracelet. The reason we do that is because our heartfelt intention is to spread the positivity at all costs, first and foremost. That is our primary aim. And we don't ever want money to stand in the way of somebody wearing one. So if money is super tight and you want to pay as low as our cost to get one, no problem. On the flip side, if you love our podcast and just hit the lotto and want to show us your support by paying $1 million for one, well, that won't hurt our feelings much either, I assure you. Lastly, we also recently added a unique new line of t-shirts that have what we call chemistry quotes written out on them that help to spread the positivity as well. So head over to positivehead.com, check out all our wares, pick something up to show us your support if you feel inclined to do so. All right. Welcome back to the Positive Head Podcast. Dalian, here we go again.
Ah, namaste, my dear brother in infinity, brother in weirdness, brother in wisdom, brother from another mother.
Ad infinitum?
Ad nauseum. Or something. Yes. At positivehead.com. Oh, that's not the same. Ad. You get it.
I get it. I think everyone gets it at this point. What's going on today, man?
Oh, nothing. Just enjoying a little bit of liquid love from the sky, aka unexpected rain.
In Southern California, yeah. Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
What it's a been shocker. When they call for it, we don't get it. When they don't call for it, that's...
Right.
Yeah, then it comes down. So I guess that's the way things work.
Yeah, maybe it's best that we can't predict the weather with 100% accuracy yet, so there's room to be surprised, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, let's see here. I woke up this Monday with a smile, checking and seeing some new reviews on iTunes. And for those of you just tuning in or newly listening to the podcast, you know I absolutely get ecstatic. Well, if you've been listening, you know I get ecstatic when we have positive reviews because, you know, we put a lot into this thing and doing this podcast, and it's just sort of completing the circle. What we're putting out is coming back in the form of loving reviews, and we love it. So, and it also helps us to find and reach new followers on iTunes. So if you are loving the podcast, we hope you'll do the same. But let's check it out. We've got Wired in One Love. I like this person's kind of username for iTunes. Definitely good so far. And they put, "You are absolutely right when you say staying positive is a daily conscious effort. I was listening to the episode from Friday and you mentioned something about peaks and valleys of life, and I started thinking about it more throughout the day. I love roller coasters and thought, wouldn't it be great if we could view life as a roller coaster ride that we don't know the layout of? Full of ups and downs, twists and turns and loops, never knowing what the ride will when the ride will end or what's around the next turn, but enjoying the ride. What fun is this ride called life? More and more I step into my heart space and become more thankful for all of the valleys that I've experienced in my life, because they are just as important as the peaks. Thank you for being the people you are and bringing this wonderful podcast into the world." That's an awesome review. What a great perspective. I love the roller coaster analogy. It is true. It's like when you really understand the full spectrum of the ride, it is, you know, it makes it okay that there's valleys. Oh, yeah, I understand the whole thing. As opposed to thinking it's supposed to be all peaks, and then when you hit a valley, you're like surprised and upset and mad and hurt and, you know, angry. That doesn't really make sense when you understand how the ride works, right? And the more you are okay with the valleys, I would say, the higher the peaks that you will bounce off of those valleys into. So it's, I think Wired in One Love has it right here. And I love that analogy. Thank you so much for sharing. Super, not only a good review for us, but it gives us a great, like, new, I love taking any sort of analogies or things like this and incorporating them into my way of trying to describe, you know, my take on the ultimate nature of reality. And I think the roller coaster is officially in the arsenal. So thank you, Wired in Love.
Talk about completing the circle, too.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. We got another one. This is by JM Palm. And it says, "What an uplifting podcast. If you want to feel positive, happy, and in control of your life, this is the place for you. Each episode brings new insight into life, eternity, and living as happily as possible. Don't miss this one." Thank you so much, JM Palm, for completing the circle and showing some love back to us. And yeah, so it's hard to not be in a positive frame of mind waking up to something like that. So we should just continue that forward and see. Well, let's see. What do we got for today? Dalian, you have something in the way of a story, something mysterious, perhaps? Mysterious story of the day.
Yes, there's a little something magical about this story that I have for you today. It's about dreams and telepathy, you could say. So, yeah, it's a cool
article.
That sounds
boring.
Oh, I know, huh? Yeah, just your average run-of-the-mill, what's a stock index today?
Yeah.
just another mundane report. No, it's a cool article from Collective Evolution, Brandon, from last month. And the headline, the title of the article is, "Scientists Discover People Who Are Awake Can Influence Dreams of Sleeping People Using Telepathy." So it's pretty cool because it's research that's been done that's documented this effect. And the article goes into some detail regarding some pretty remarkable cases where there was a specific image, a painting, or a very detailed scene that was being broadcast, quote-unquote, right, into a sleeping person's or someone who was designated as the receiver, right?
Right.
And there's a couple, like I said, the article goes into detail on a couple of these specific accounts that are just remarkable in the number of details that were, you know, accurately described. But I'll just read you a couple of select quotes from the article. There's a really cool quote from Nikola Tesla, actually, there saying, the day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence.
Yeah.
We've heard something like that before. And it's
that's really cool.
Yeah, he was at the forefront of this sort of thing. So the article says, according to Stanley Krippner, PhD and professor of psychology at Saybrook University in California, a wealth of anecdotal and clinical material exists, which supports the possibility of telepathic effects occurring in dreams. However, an experimental approach to the topic did not become possible until psychophysiological laboratory technology became available. It was discovered that sleeping research participants awakened from periods of rapid eye movement, or REM, activity. Participants who were awakened from periods of REM activity were frequently able to recall dream episodes. As a result, it was possible to request a telepathic receiver to attempt dreaming about a target stimulus that was being focused on in a distant location from a telepathic sender. One of the accounts that I was referencing that they talk about is when they use the painting, a relatively well-known painting called a School of Dance by Edgar Degas that pictures a bunch of young dancers in some academy, right? And it's one of these very naturalistic, like impressionist type paintings, I think. But if you've seen it, you know, there it's a very sort of specific scene, right? And much like the name says, it depicts that subject matter. So they the experiment was pretty cool because it just details exactly that. The person, the receiver's dream, they say, I was in a class made up of maybe a half dozen people. It felt like a school. And there was one little girl that was trying to dance with me.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's so pretty cool. Yeah, there's another account that's even more, actually goes into even more detail pertaining to birds, in particular a phoenix, which you can read about in the article. But it's really fascinating because I suspect, like, you know, like telepathy itself, if you study that sort of thing and think, oh, I think there may be something to this. Let's see if statistically speaking, there's something to that. The more you go into the down that rabbit hole, the more you find that, yeah, there is something.
Yeah. What a cool story. Very, very awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Cool. Thanks.
Well, let's move right along. I would like to do a positive pondering breakdown of the day. And I have a quote from Khalil Gibran. This is the famous book, The Prophet, which was recently made into a cartoon movie, which is beautiful. Highly recommend it. And the quote goes, love one another, but make not a bond of love. Rather, let it be a moving sea between the shores of your souls. And what I think Khalil is getting at here is attachment or non-attachment. Not allowing your love to become rigid and stuck and, you know, clingy and, you know, needing it to last any length of time to be what it is. And I think that's something that is very sort of dangerous for everyone, whether it be dealing with their, you know, romantic love, of course, oftentimes, or even family love. I mean, family love is normally consistently, more consistently there, where these romantic relationships can come and go so much easier. And I think if you can just allow for them to be what they're going to be. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions in, you know, on this planet is that a relationship has to last forever for it to be successful. And I suppose the irony there is it does last forever. You're in eternity. Whoever you long for or miss, a past lover or a future, you know, lover that you imagine that has yet to arrive, it's, you can't ever lose anyone, ultimately. You can only take breaks from someone. When you have eternity, that's a long, long time. it is no time, actually. And so I firmly believe that we just take, you know, imagine having your favorite meal, very favorite meal from the best chef on the planet, and having it tonight for dinner. It would be amazing, right? Now imagine having it tomorrow night and the next night And for the next 100 years straight, it would become miserable. You would hate that meal. It would be the least favorite thing you've ever had, right? What a difference. And that, I think, is a great analogy of what it's like. The impermanence of our relationships. None of them are going to last forever. I don't care if you've met your soulmate and you're going to live until you're 128 together. Well, you have, 100 years left, and then it's going to be over for this lifetime. And perhaps you take break from there. It's like, that was a long one. I think I'll see you in another, millennia. And that's the way I believe this thing really works. And so allow it to just flow naturally when you come into orbit with one another. Just allow it to be what it's going to be, and it may last the rest of your life. It may last the rest of the day. It's all a part of the beauty of what it is to be alive, and love one another, but make not a bond of love. Rather, let it be a moving sea between the shores of your souls. And there's actually a clip that I'd like to share that goes into this a little bit more, because I know a lot of people face a really hard time losing parents or grandparents or loved ones that are getting older that have dementia or, Alzheimer's or something like this, which is a very difficult experience for those observing it. And so this quote made me think of that. Like I said, not just with romantic relationships, but losing anyone that we love. And because it's inevitable, we're all going to lose, people that we love in our lives that are, a key part of our story. And when you can understand, and especially when it comes under these more difficult circumstances, and I'm sure there's listeners out there that have dealt with this or are dealing with this. So what I'd like to do at this time is give some unique perspective on what it's like or what it means to be dealing with a loved one that you're losing through difficult circumstances. Let's take a listen to Abraham Hicks, the multidimensional person. I found this on YouTube page VIO77X. Take a listen.
Hello. Two parts. Maybe you'll answer my second one after the first is asked. And my father is 89 years old, and I've been caretaking him for quite some time, gone into a nursing home, and he has dementia, not the Alzheimer's. He is clear sometimes, and other times he's in the past, far away with my mother, who passed 6 years ago, with his father, who passed many years ago. And from your perspective, where does he go? How does that serve him? Is he getting ready? Are these people coming to visit him?
That's a good way of putting it, and it's a common way of putting it, because when you think about it, when someone is getting ready to make their transition and therefore is focusing upon those people that they know and love who already have, then they activate in their vibration the vibration of those people, and that active vibration does cause a rendezvousing of consciousness that they are then able to translate into what they would call a real life experience. That's why sometimes they are so content to sit for even long periods of time and just ponder. When you say, where does he go? He is actually, you see, before this answer can really make sense to you, you have to start with the understanding that what you're seeing here in this time-space reality is also a translation of vibration. Mm-hmm. And as it's like, think about the idea of focus. So when you focus your eyes in a specific way, you see a specific thing. Have you ever noticed that when you're specifically focused on something, everything in the background sort of is diffused? Because you're focusing specifically. You can focus more broadly or you can focus more sharply. If you're accustomed to seeing energy and you're focused sharply, you don't see energy. But if you diffuse your focus, then you can see energy. Mm-hmm. Out of your peripheral vision, you see all kinds of movement of things that when you turn to look at, at it, you cannot see. So focus is the operative word here. So in your time-space reality, in the way that you have understand of focusing your vision, there's a focusing of consciousness, and there's an agreement in that focus of consciousness that translates into this time-space reality upon which many of you have strong agreement. In other words, you agree about the physics of this room. You agree about, to a certain extent, the temperature of this room, what you're hearing and seeing. Your experiences are similar, not identical, but similar as you translate this time-space reality. But when you begin to withdraw your focus from this time-space reality, and you don't have to be on your way to what you call your death experience to do it, you can ponder your childhood and go into a completely different vibrational state where anything that's surrounding you right now is not relevant. You can, that's what daydreaming is. You could ponder your vortex, which is what we are really encouraging you to do, and find a vibrational at oneness with this reality that in terms of manifestation is still becoming, but in terms of vibration has already become. Mm-hmm. So whether we're talking about remembering the past, or whether we're talking about focusing into the vortex, or whether we're talking about rendezvousing with non-physical consciousness like Abraham, or like someone who, from your perspective, has reemerged into non-physical, it's all just focus, you see. We would like you to soothe all of it and not try so hard to make it non-physical or physical. Just call it focus. It's an interesting thing how you, in your youthfulness and in your healthfulness, can daydream without being accused of reveling with dead people. But let someone in a nursing home dare to have a daydream. Oh, they're getting ready to pass over. Mm-hmm. They're probably cavorting with others who have already passed over. Mm-hmm. And we say, their consciousness is just focusing more freely in the way they did when they first got here. Have you ever watched babies? Oh, the parties they're having. You say, look over here, look over here, look over here. And the baby says, oh, do I have to? Do I have to look over there where all that ridiculous noise and puppetry is going on? I was having a meaningful conversation with source energy here. Do I really have to look at that stupid rattle again? All right, I'll look, and then maybe you'll leave me alone to my own thoughts.
You didn't answer number two. Just then, because I was hit with the rattle with my dad, you know, come back, talk to me, be here. I think it's just me missing him.
Well, one of the nice things about understanding that consciousness is eternal is that you realize that there's nothing to miss. In other words, we know that when you were a teenager, you did not want your dad going everywhere you went. You were happy to miss him. You were happy to live your own life. You were happy to move out of his house and into one of your own. You did not miss him so much as want to stay with him. There were all kinds of conversations you did not want to have with your father. You wanted to have with other people. You wanted to have with your contemporaries. You did not want to, in other words, your father, you have not wanted to have every conversation with your father. So now, why does it matter if he's having some conversations with some others, you see what we're getting at?
Yes, I do. That's very...
A lot of what humans call dementia is a soft withdrawal into the non-physical. It's just easier. It's just easier to focus yourself there because you all know that as long as you can get someone to listen to you, you're going to control what they think about. Isn't it true? Isn't it sort of kind of true? Mm-hmm. That if someone will give you any attention at all, that you will hold them in attention. The teacher in the classroom can feel you wavering. Wait. Come back over here and think about this. I have control of your thought. I want control of your thought. I want your attention, you see. When what's really going on with all of you is that you have never really wanted to give any one person all of your attention. You're too multifaceted. There are too many interesting things. You are too multi-layered. You are too multidimensional. You are much broader than your current surroundings ever allow. And the most important thing is that there is a vortex that is always calling you that is bigger and better than the reality that you are living. Now that's really what we want you to know, that your father is moving toward his vortex. And whether you call the vortex the achievement of his goals or whether you call it reemerging into the non-physical, you should not feel uncomfortable when anyone is feeling summoned by their vortex rather than wanting to live the same old news of now reality. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Don't you just love knowing mm-hmm. that you are eternal and that there will always be interesting things for you to focus upon? Mm-hmm. What's bothering physical humans is that they don't understand it. You've been telling such a bogus, flaw-based story for so long that because you don't understand the non-physical, you fear it. So when this non-physical vortex is summoning someone into the fullness and completion of who they have become, instead of it being a feeling of exaltation for you, instead of it being something that you're really looking forward to them having the fullness of it, you're over there with the rattle. Come back! Come back! Don't go to all that you've become. Mm-hmm. Stay here in this boring nursing home. Mm-hmm.
I get it. Thank you very much.
And as you begin to accurately contemplate the wholeness of who you are, the entireness of who you are, you won't be lonely anymore. You won't be fearful anymore. You won't be guarded anymore. In other words, you'll know that there is always this vortex, this source energy, always with you, always there to chat and confer and affirm. And support isn't the perfect word, but bolster and buoy up. In other words, you really, this unknown that you're so worried about is so delicious, you see? And the more you practice your vortex while you're still alive and kicking here in this physical body, the more you'll understand the eternalness of your being and the less resistant you'll feel about what's the next logical step for you. And then dementia won't be the necessary means for you to withdraw your attention. In other words, you'll just say, lunch was good, bye.
Yeah, so Dalian, very interesting kind of perspective on this, talking about dementia specifically in this particular talk, thinking about those people. Of course, those people are thinking about maybe their past wife or something from their past. A lot of time they're living in the past. And of course, they're activating the vibration of those long lost people. Abraham talks about in terms of vibration, everything's already become. So if they're thinking about them, they very well, we can't see into their minds. We don't know what they're experiencing. We know they get lost in these ideas and in these sort of past concepts and living out these things, and it seems very odd to us and very sad. But when you think of it from the perspective that they're talking about here, a soft withdrawal into the non-physical, it seems to really make a lot of sense to me, and seems to be, it takes the sting out of it a little bit. I mean, I know it's not easy for anyone who's experiencing it and viewing it from the outside. But, you know, as they talk about, a baby is doing it too. There's so much, their consciousness is essentially focusing more freely the way it was when they first got here. And what a wonderful way to think of it instead of this awful thing that is terrible. You know, they're in eternity, that you can't lose them. This is their way of dealing with the transition to make it a softer entry. And you know, the great thing is you don't need to do that. As you begin to comprehend the wholeness of who you are, you won't be, you won't come to the point where that's even a necessary, you won't need dementia to withdraw your attention, as she put it here. And I think that's, it's a really, really great perspective on this whole, illness that's viewed as such a tragedy, I believe.
Yeah, that can be such a difficult thing to bear for those of us who are here, but a little bit like the perspective on someone who doesn't have all their faculties, you know? Of course, senility and dementia, all these things that come with, advanced age, it's something that I think we'll be able to reverse more and more as we understand really the process of aging and how it is that we can retain all our faculties.
But I think this goes beyond just a physical phenomenon when someone's experiencing this, you know. I think it's a very spiritual phenomenon. It's these people have, probably lived a life oftentimes that they're not necessarily tuned into their greatest potential and their widest potential. And as a result, they're taking this sort of off the beaten path exit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if someone is really tapped in and tuned in and understanding the ultimate nature of reality in the language that we're trying to express it here, in the way that we're trying to express it here, I would imagine there's a different sort of exit. Like, I love how Abraham talks about it. Oh, that was a great lunch. Gotta go.
Yeah, no, exactly. Abraham definitely implies that in the video. And that's, I think, true from my direct experience with a relative who suffered from a condition like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely the case in their life, and it's my understanding, it's definitely my firm belief that it's true that when you don't have something here in our physical reality that's your source of motivation and purpose, and it's stimulating you on a mental and emotional level every day, then you're going to sort of find that alternate, that's perhaps elsewhere, right? Like they say. And it's going to be calling you, and it's really going to be providing that, again, that sense of purpose and that focus, right? That attention, like they say, when you get someone to give you that attention or when you find that focus of attention, the one thing that I know is difficult for those of us who are here, or really for the people who are suffering from this, is when they contrast that with a moment of lucidity and they realize that they're not all there, so to speak.
Yeah.
Then that can be very troubling for them, very confusing, and it makes them feel very, very bad. But that's what I hope we can alleviate is to, that sense that something's wrong. We can let them know that everything's fine.
Right, right. I think the alien of our longtime friend, my friend since I was a small child, Paul, his father is experiencing this currently, I believe. And I haven't, they live back east and everything. So I haven't really heard the latest and greatest. But last time I've talked to him, which is months and months ago, there was some of this going on. And, it's a great example because I grew up around this man, as a younger boy. I think we were friends since we were like 12 years old, and being around his father, there was sort of a lot of battle with depression. There was a lot of low vibration energy, and from him and in his world. And now here we are, several decades later, and, he's experiencing dementia as he gets up. Probably I'm guessing he's in his early 70s or around 70 or something like that. So, I'll have to let him know about this particular podcast to listen and hear Abraham's perspective, because I think it really does help to take the sting when you have an understanding. And at the end of the day, you can't really lose them. It's this is their way. This is their path. And imagine approaching it with that sort of loving acceptance as opposed to what a tragedy this is. It changes the whole vibration for you as the person dealing with the loved one that is going through it.
Yeah, it's one of these things that reminds me of another condition I've dealt with in another loved one who was really sick, but you have to separate the illness or the sickness from the individual, and especially when it's something that alters their personality and their behavior, right?
Yeah.
That can be so challenging, and it really forces you to try and remember the person as you once knew them in a way, right? Because that's the image of them that you want to hold on to. That really applies to other things that are not directly related to illness or something so dramatic. But I think it's true that we always want to try and hold our vision of someone at their best and honor that. So,
Well, Dalian, I think that gets down to the end of today's imaginary time frame.
For this spin of the cosmic or marble.
Or something.
Yeah.
I got some really good music queued up. This is Saki, S-A-Q-I. The song is Saturn, and it features another producer, The Human Experience, who I also really like. So take a listen to Saturn. Hope you enjoy. And before we check out the musical tastings for today, I would like to add, this podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I. So if you have enjoyed this positive download from our hearts and minds to yours, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes. Since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because, well, because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.